You know, PJ.
Yeah, it's St. Patty's Day. Everyone's Irish tonight. Why don't you just pull up a stool and have a drink with us?
No response.
I was trying to remember the next line.
Welcome back to the Wellhouse Exorcism. This is your ghost of a host of the most, Shanna.
Hi. It's Pugwa PJ.
Actually, after tonight, you might be Tommy Knocker PJ.
I don't want to be Tommy Knocker PJ.
Happy St. Patty's Day. No, nothing? What?
I'm scared.
Well, I have a St. Patty's Day themed episode for us this evening.
Wait, let me set some mood music.
There it is.
All right, keep talking.
First, I'd like to thank Maggie's Casket LLC for hosting a painting night for my Girl Scout troop. If you are looking for a lady who can do anything, you need to contact Jamie. My daughter has already requested a painting event for her birthday, and Jamie already happily said yes. So you can find her on Facebook by searching Maggie's Casket. I'd also like to wish a congratulations to Craven and Caster in Blakely, because today or tomorrow marks their 1 year anniversary of opening up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep, so I'm very happy for them. And you got all of this while also hearing some fantastic music from Boondock Saints. So thank you, PJ, for being our
that's
DJ.
Right. See how much of this I can play before we get copyright striked or something.
Oh, boy.
I'll turn that down now.
It was beautiful. But now, for a dive into St. Patty's Day. To start off with, I enjoyed Field of Screams, St. Patty's Day themed, because our paranormal expert, Carrie, suggested it for Sophie as a girls' weekend slash early birthday present for Sophie. So she, Sophie, and myself, we all went to the St. Patty's Day themed Field of Screams, and it was a blast. It was honestly just hilarious to me because I'm so used to haunted houses and stuff that it was just fun. But there were three different attractions open. They were all decorated with Irish holiday, like, you know, stuff. They must have got like a Dollar Tree because it was so chintzy and I loved it. Like they were really bending into, we're doing this, but we're doing this just to be funny.
Yep.
The Frightmare Asylum was open, the Nocturnal Wasteland, and the Den of Darkness. The Hayride was not open, but I assume it's because they probably borrow those fields and they're probably seeding them soon.
Yeah.
So, plus it'd be kind of muddy and cold and gross. So, yeah. But anyway, we started with Den of Darkness because we wanted Sophie to see a haunted house kind of feel first because she's never like walked through one like that. So we did that first. It was adorable. It was spooky because they have lots of good places for the actors to hide. So they'll just jump out at you and the actors are allowed to touch you. So it was just like you're walking through and you would just have a hand kind of go across your head, or they'd walk up to you and say, "Will you play with us?" And so at first, Sophie kind of like held herself, you know, like close to herself. You know, she can do that. But then she started kind of getting into it because she heard me and Carrie making comments like, "Sure." And one of the actors goes, "Are you feeling lucky?" And I go, "No, my husband's not here." And Sophie goes, "What?" I'm like, nothing. Forgot that there's a kid here. But anyway.
Yeah, she listens to this, right?
She doesn't listen to this.
Yes, she does.
Oh, no. Well, anyway. So, she did a great job, though. Like, some light bulbs were changed to green in honor of St. Patty's Day, which was so cute. They had some, like, green garlands, you know, kind of, like, put up. And there was, like, really cute shamrocks that are, like, made of garland. They had those hanging from, like, door handles. It was just adorable. The Frightmare Asylum then was kind of much the same. It had like similar decorations kind of put up, but it's super cool. When you walk in, it feels like an asylum. And they have like TVs on, like you're supposed to be like in a control room, but the asylum's being run by the crazies at this point. So like, you know, it's been busted into. But on one of the TVs is Mickey Mouse when he was Steamboat Willie, and it's like the haunted castle background. I'm just like, it's Mickey Mouse. I got excited. But anyway.
Now that they're allowed to use it.
Yeah. But the actors in there, like, too, like, because throughout all the different places, they were dressed up in leprechaun outfits or, like, green. Or they'd have, like, you know, garland hanging off of them in Spirit of the Holiday. But there was one leprechaun actor who was outside the Frightmare Asylum because the lines were getting long for that one. The Dawn of Darkness and Nocturnal Wasteland, the lines weren't that bad, but the asylum was. So he was out there, like, doing magic tricks and stuff. So he had, like, you know, a pot of gold. And he'd be like, do you want to see a magic trick? And he'd, like, pull a coin from behind your ear, which is ridiculous. But there was one group of college kids there. And they were just, like, the quintessential, like, college boys. Like, I'm not scared of anything. And this is all stupid. But we're going to go through it anyway, you know, because they want to be scared. Yeah. And he, like, I think he just zeroed in on that. He's like, oh, well, I'll take care of this. And so he fake spit into his hand and then rubbed it across the college boy's face. The college's like, oh, gross, gross. Nothing was on his hand. But there was a lot of cute banter, too, because the lady who was in charge of moving the groups in, like, moving the groups in, she would yell at him, get back in your cage. I don't want to. It's over there. Get back in your cage. And he would go back up, like, in the one bell tower. It was really cute. But Carrie said that the actors tend to bother the college kids the most because they think that they're, like, they can't be scared, you know. Yeah. So it's just kind of hilarious. So anyway, after having walked through the Nocturnal Wasteland, they were kind of, like, around us, behind us. I didn't mind that he, like, fake got spit on because he kind of deserved it. He's kind of a jerk. But anyway, in my opinion, though, the best one was the Nocturnal Wasteland. I just, like, it's a fun experience. You walk through and it's basically you get to walk through woods. There's, like small features that you can that you walk into and around, kind of like the Elysburg Haunted House.
Yeah.
There's even a school bus that you, like, walk up and onto. And there's, like, the drawbridges, like, from Kidsburg. They're, like, the wooden ones, but they wiggle. Bridges. But, like, they wiggle.
Yeah.
And it's a rope, but it's, like,
there's the swinging
no,
bridge.
But there's no space. It's, like, you know, it's safe. So it's all just the wood. Yeah. So they even had those, like, so you kind of, like, went up and you, like, were going through, like, almost like a jungle gym at points. Mm-hmm. But it's all hand constructed, which is just so stinking cool. But everything in the Nocturnal Wasteland is hillbilly related. So it's just ridiculous. But the best part was there was an actor who was dressed up like a Hills Have Eyes guy. He's supposed to be, like, nonverbal and just creepy. His face has, like, been melted. Like, he looks really creepy. And he had this broken stick, like, in his hand. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And as people are walking by, he'd be like, whoo. And he'd, like, stick it out of you. Whoo. So, like, comic relief, but he was trying to give it to somebody, and so he, like, does it to Sophie, and she goes, oh, okay, and she takes the stick, and he goes, hooray! He's, like, so proud that she took the stick, and I said, Sophie, I'm pretty sure where he comes from, that's a sign of marriage, so congratulations. I'm like, oh, he gave you a broken stick, how cool. He was, like, he was holding, like, a flower.
I was wondering what she meant, because this morning when you guys got home, she's like, I got a stick.
She did.
And I was like, what?
She did. So she's like, thank you. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's giving you flowers. And she's like, Mom, he's so cute. Can we take him home? And I go, no, we cannot take him home. And he goes, when she asked that, he goes, ooh, ooh. And he, like, starts pounding his pants. He's like bouncing up and down. And I go, no, we can't take everything home. And he goes, aww. So she really enjoyed that one. But there's one, like, little feature in the Nocturnal Wasteland where there's, like, dead bodies hanging, and, like, obviously there's a guy's been, like, cutting apart people. Mm. It's supposed to be, like, you know, that.
Yeah.
And he makes a joke. Anybody by my wife or my girlfriend, she's been hanging around for a week and I can't stand her. She's starting to smell. $50. So he's like, you know, trying to sell his dead body.
Yeah.
And so he goes, yeah, sure, I'll buy it. And he's just like, all right, you come over here and hang out and we'll talk. You guys can keep going. And I'm not going to leave my daughter behind. So, but Karen and I both go, no, we'll take her with us. And he's just like, well, I'll be fine. She'll be safe. And then we go, and I go, she's 12. And he had the best comeback. He's like, why does everybody think I want to steal children? I don't want to do anything bad with her. Sometimes you just want to burn skin. And I go, I understand that, but she's 12, so still illegal. So give her to me. So he's just like, okay. But the best part, though, is she fell in love with this guy who's dressed up, like, in this creepy, like, bear outfit, and, like, half of him is, like, you know, St. Patty's Day-esque because it's the holiday, but it's a creepy bear, and he's, like, his face is ripped, and it's all covered in blood, and on the back of his shirt, it says cookie, like, which is the most ridiculous thing, but it looks like a baseball shirt almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so she at first was creeped out by him because she'd seen him like when he was walking down like the streets and stuff. Because, you know, beforehand, like the clowns and stuff.
When you're waiting in line. Yeah.
But then we're in the asylum line waiting and she saw him. She's like, oh, I want to pet him. He's so cute. And so he has his name on the back of his shirt. We go, hey, Cookie, come here. She wants to get a picture with you. And Cookie walks over and he looks at her and she goes, I think you're really cute. And he goes, oh, thanks. We were so surprised by his high voice that we just broke out laughing, as if like everyone around us, because of course they listened to the banter. Yeah. And we got pictures with them. But she's like, Cookie, you're the best. Can you come home with us? And I go, Sophie, you can't take everything home. And he goes, but all I need is a small box. I'm house trained. It's the cutest thing. So at the end, you know, she wanted to go, of course, at the stuff that's like, you know, on sale
there. The merch.
Yeah. And there were like wooden roses. And she's like, I want a red one and I want a black one. And I go, okay, fine, whatever. And I got you a Mothman.
Yep.
But she goes, I got this red rose for Cookie. And I'm like, well, Cookie's there. If you want to go to him, you got to run now. And so she runs over. She's like, Cookie, come back. And she's like chasing after Cookie. And he turns around. She's like, I got this for you, Cookie. Well, thanks. So if Cookie listens to our podcast, I just know that you made my daughter's night. Pretty sure she wants to marry you. She's only 12, so you have to wait 6 years. But she's like, I hope he keeps my rose. And we're like, absolutely, he didn't give it away to somebody else. I don't know what Cookie did with it, but it was the cutest stinking thing. So, but anyway, I do highly recommend going to Field of Screams next year when they do it again. They're doing a halfway to Halloween May 4th, but it was adorable. I'm not sure if all of the four features will be open then, because only had three open.
Probably
for this.
Not the hayride. Yeah,
because again, if they're using the fields, they're going to be It's Lancaster, so they're using fields for, you know, making food. But they also have like a really cool like place for food. They had like Annie Ann's was there and stuff. They have lots of games, but it was like cash only everywhere, and I didn't bring any cash.
Really, for an establishment that large,
you could use cards at the merch area. But when we went up to get, like, somebody wanted, of course, a bottle of water. And I'm like, well, let's go see if they take cards. I saw everyone holding cash. And I was just like,
oh, no.
And I never asked. So maybe they were taking cards. But, like, when I got up closer, I saw a card reader, like, in the Annie Ann's window. Uh-huh. But it was unplugged and it was, like, shoved behind something like it was forgotten. I'm like, I think they might only be cash only. And I'd ask someone online, I'm like, is this place cash only or do they take cards? And they go, we only use cash. We've never used cards because everything, like the games are cash only. I'm like, oh, okay. And so then I went to go to the ATM that was there and it's like in like an outhouse, but it was padlocked closed. I'm like, okay, well, so if you're not getting anything because I can't get cash out. Fun fact, the other ATM they had for the small feature, because it's like, you know, this is an off season Field of Screams. It was by the check-in area. So there was an ATM. But it was like far away. We saw when we were leaving. But I loved it. It was totally worth it. Next year, I'm going to take you. We'll just leave Alex by himself here. He's fine. He's fine. So anyway, that's my little opening. So that was all our fantastic paranormal experts idea, Carrie. And she wanted to do a recording of a podcast. And I like we were going to go look at some kind of cool place down there. But when Soph and I did the research, because I wanted to go to the old jailhouse where, you know, the Conestoga had been massacred. But, and as I mentioned in my previous podcast, that area has been renovated. It no longer exists. And the marker that's even in Lancaster was stolen, apparently, recently.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't even bother going to get a picture of that because I was like, well, I'm not going to drive into Lancaster because traffic, you know, just to get a picture of nothing. So we did not go anywhere else. But also the reason was our hotel was wonderful and it had a jacuzzi. So and we did the girliest things we could, you know. Carrie took us out for Dunkin' this morning for breakfast and she wanted us to see an at-home store. I've never heard of at-home. It's basically like a Marshall's and a Target.
Oh, okay.
But it's only stuff for your house, so it kind of feels like a Lowe's
Bath and Beyond,
but not expensive.
Okay.
And they have like clearance stuff all the time, so like there is lots of clearance areas. So Sophie and I were in there and we were obsessed. They have great furniture there that I was like, I can't come with furniture, but I would go home with furniture right now because it was all on sale. It was great. I loved it. So I think I'm going to like quit my job and open on that home up here. We'll make lots of money. So anyway, we had lots of fun in Lancaster. Suggest Field of Screams.
Cool.
But this is the St. Paddy's Day episode, right? Okay. Why leprechauns? Why do we use them as our decoration for St. Patty's Day? Because St. Patrick was not a leprechaun. And he got rid of snakes. He said, shoo, go and get. Yeah. And the snakes left.
Kicked him out of Ireland.
That's right. So why leprechauns?
Because they're Irish. That's all I got for you.
You are correct. Well, according to Chelsea Foltz from The Real Word online, not Real World.
Yeah.
I have to make sure I typed that correctly. She says, the leprechaun story has long been a beloved aspect of Irish lore. They are believed to be a part of another piece of famous folklore, as they are traditionally known to be members of the fairy family. You know, the fairies that we're creeped out by.
Still want to do an episode on those.
Oh, we're going to. And next we're going to do an episode on Tommyknockers too. So anyway, tales of these small creatures first emerge in the 8th century when legends about the tiny water dwellers began circulating among the Celts. So they are not the the fairies, though. They're a sect of them, but they're not evil, child-stealing monsters.
Yeah.
So the name for leprechaun, where does it come from? They think it came from the Irish word, and I apologize to any real Irishman out there.
Gaelic, yes.
Yeah. Lucharpán, L-U-C-H-O-R-P, A with a really cool accent, and Lucharpán, meaning small body, which makes sense because you're tiny.
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to be 2 to 3 feet tall. But where do they live? Well, in order to hide from humans, they are known to dwell in tiny underground caves or hollow tree trunks.
Okay.
Yep. So I think in some of the openings, like the leprechaun movies, you see like the tree trunk idea. But underground caves, interesting for Tommyknockers, just saying. Because that popped up at the end of my research when I was doing stuff on leprechauns. I was like, well, I could have done a whole episode on this because Pennsylvania. But I'm focusing on leprechauns. We'll worry about Tommyknockers later. Now, they are famous, these leprechauns, for being cobblers of the fairy world. And their name is also associated with the old term, and again, I'm going with it, Leif Brogan, L-E-A-T-H, so Leif, and then Brogan, B-H-R-O-G-A-N, meaning shoemaker. This profession is what earns them their iconic pots of gold.
Okay.
And, you know, you hear stories about like, the elves and the shoemaker all the time, so kind of, you know, maybe it crossed over there. While we think of these creatures as imaginary, belief in them and other closely related fairies was actually widespread throughout Ireland. This is one of the reasons that the icon is now so ingrained into Irish culture even today. But fun fact, the Irish don't believe in leprechauns. According to Reddit, a lot of Irishmen are like, we don't believe in this. We just use that to make you guys come over here and buy merch. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yep.
Anyway. Okay. Over the years, the history of leprechauns has become associated with everything green, and they are now often depicted as old men dressed in a hat and suit of this color. And of course, they have buckled shoes, they have a pipe, they have red hair, because Irish. But that was not always the case. In fact, you may be surprised to know that they were originally depicted as wearing red. Imagine like a leprechaun wearing red. It just seems wrong. It sounds like Santa.
Yeah.
And they were thought to be dressed in red for a number of years. Now, one person on Reddit said it's because it was believed that was that they dyed their clothes in the blood of the people they killed.
All right.
That was only one person that said that, so I'm pretty sure it's not true. But I wanted to mention that because this is a spooky podcast, and that's spooky.
Neat take, I guess.
Yeah.
I like it.
But of course, we put them in green now because, you know, the holiday. So again, they have evolved into the green-wearing guys we see nowadays. They dance on WNEP 16. But anyway. They think it's really just because of the popularity of green throughout Ireland. You know, we have the Irish flag that has green on it. A beautiful, they call themselves the Emerald Isle, you know, beautiful green fields. But anyway, green and leprechauns are St. Paddy's Day. We just know that.
Yeah.
Now, here's something else that's interesting about the leprechaun legend. There are no female leprechauns.
Okay.
Yes. There are literally no stories of any female leprechauns. And so that kind of just adds to the impossible origin of these monsters, fairies, whatever, because how did they come to be?
Yeah.
No one knows. No one knows. They are, like, if you look at American culture and Native American culture, as I was doing my research, they actually fall under the same category as Pukwudgie. And so you'll see the little people in stories of upstate New York, like, you know, when we talk about Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Yeah. Well, not that, sorry. Rip Van Winkle. You know, there are lots of stories of these small men who live in the mountains and they've protected children.
Yeah, exactly. We've said several times the Pukwudgie are very similar to other fae mm-hmm. creatures.
Yep. And the Native American Algonquins, they, again, this is on Reddit, but they, the Pukwudgie word for them is actually a little bit longer. It's like Pukwudgienin, but it goes on for a little bit. But they see them as like leprechauns too. So they're all very much connected. And in Western Pennsylvania, we have Tommyknockers from caves. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. There's lots of stories about Tommyknockers that they freak me out. So leprechauns, if they are part of the Fae world, they're going to be all those. So the question is, are there female Pukwudgie? I haven't heard a story yet. They always look like creepy little men going, Kier. Kier. But anyway, so we know that with leprechauns, they have a famous story of their pots of gold because of their shoemaking. They are known to possess and hoard their prized pots, and traditionally they hide the treasure at the end of a rainbow. This means that humans need to catch them in order to find this fortune, as it is impossible to actually locate the end of this natural phenomenon. Well, you know. But there's also stories that they have stolen the money over years of war, and they buried them to keep their money safe. Hmm. So depending on the lore that you read, it's either from shoemaking or they're hiding their money for safety. But of course, there is that idea that if you catch the leprechaun, you get to secure a bit of luck, and you get to ask them for three wishes. That's kind of like their belief. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is you got to be careful, because when you wish things, it's kind of like the monkey's paw, where
they can twist your words. Yeah, on
you get what you want, but so the luck of the Irish isn't what we expect, I suppose. But anyway, many looking for fortune also seek to gain their gold, but beware, these teeny men are also known to be tricksters. They are said to deceive humans and serve as a warning against greed, which is why they're monkey's paw-esque. So some people believe that they hide their gold simply in order to lure in the unsuspecting, and when granting their captors their wishes, they often instead lead them astray.
They'll take your lucky charms.
Yes, you knew it. Now, this is why we call them Tommyknockers in Pennsylvania. Again, like, this is, again, it's so weird that, like, I had never heard of Tommyknockers, but I'm sure Kevin Paul has, because it's all a Western PA thing.
I mean, I've heard the term because of the Stephen King book, but...
Which one?
Tommyknockers.
It's actually called...
A movie, too.
Oh!
Yeah.
Is it about little men?
I've never seen it. I've only ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah, I've never...
Because I heard it was, like, only meh, so...
I've never heard of it. But, yeah. Apparently you can hear when there's a leprechaun nearby, because you can hear a tapping sound, like a hammer, because they're supposed to be cobblers, so they're like hammering, cobbling in the distance. So that's how you know they can hear that knocking, that they're near. There, apparently you can also hear them dancing a traditional Irish jig with their music too, and they love traditional Irish, like, you know, musical instruments, and they'll play that too while doing their little jig. But you will hear them knocking, and that's why they're called Tommyknockers in Pennsylvania. But anyway, so what do we know about leprechauns, and where did this entire idea come from? Because we know a lot about the Fae. We know about the creepy fairies that lure children away. They put in changelings in your beds. The peasants talk about it in Ireland a whole bunch. Well, according to Wikipedia, because obviously it's a great place to go, the earliest known reference to the leprechaun appears in the medieval tale known as, and this is where I'm going to pretend to read this correctly, Ectra Fergus Mac Leety.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It means Adventures of Fergus, Son of Leety.
Okay.
I hope it's pronounced Leety. A lot of accents on that.
The Stephen King book, by the way, is about aliens.
So not
Yeah, a woman finds something buried in her yard or something like that. I just looked up a synopsis. But...
Well, he's not from Pennsylvania, so obviously he's got it wrong. You know. But anyway, in The Adventures of Fergus, Son of Lechthi, I think, I don't know how to pronounce that. There are a few different versions, but the original story is a little scary. So the text is a long, it's an adventure. So there's lots of a series and episodes in this reading. But Fergus Mac Leety, King of Ulster, he falls asleep on the beach. And he awakes because there are these things that have started dragging him into the water. And because his toe touched the water, it woke him up. But they were dragging him out to drown him in the sea.
Hmm.
Yes. Yeah, so basically, he captures them and he gets three wishes. And one of them was like learning how to swim. Like, oh, we'll teach you how people know how to swim. So we'll teach you how to swim. But in the book, they're called the Lucre Pain, which is close to leprechaun. So anyway, while it's scary, It's a lot better than the fairies who are, you know, spearing away children.
Yeah, saying, changelings. So. Yeah,
they turned back out into the ocean. This guy could have drowned, sure, but they're more mischievy and pranksters than they are, like, you know, child murderers.
Yeah,
or more child puck-wudgy. Stealers. Yeah, yeah. Here.
Yeah, just wait till we get into changelings.
Oh no, and like that's I know like that I know it's supposed to be fake. But I have a fear that if we go in the woods, my children are going to be stolen.
Well, that's...
the stories are so horrifying.
Well, and even, like, that's something that Irish people do believe mm-hmm. in, you know? There's a certain type of bush that they believe they live in. Mm-hmm. And Laura and Ray, when they went to Ireland, Laura was at a pub, and she asked them, she's like, you know... I noticed the bushes outside. Like, do you trim them at all?
At first, or? She said, like, do you believe in this? And they all said, no, it's just Irish nonsense. But then she asked.
Yeah, then she's like, well, I noticed the bushes all over the place. Like, just, you know, do you maintain them at all? And they're like, no.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. We do not go near those.
So, yeah. I feel the same way. I'm like, you know what? You can have your bush. Just don't take my kids. But that actually comes from the Irish peasantry. They believed that, like, if their kids were acting, like, if their baby started acting really weird... The belief was that the Fae had come in and taken their baby
and swapped their baby with a
changeling.
Yeah. If their baby began to act erratically or came down with some kind of horrible illness, oof. You know, suddenly.
Yeah. So according to worldhistory.org, other possible sources of inspiration for leprechauns are the terrible monsters. And again, I apologize to all Irish people. Lupercanig, who appear in the 12th century CE. Labor Gabala, which means Book of Invasions. They were. They also think they could be the Clur Khan or the Clur Kane. Again, I apologize for pronunciation. They're male spirits seen in wider European folklore, and they're said to haunt cellars. These guys are kind of hilarious. I think I could be one of these, but I'm a girl. They live alone. They're often dressed in fine red clothes, very common for leprechauns. The clericons sometimes carry a purse full of silver coins, not gold. They're small in size, but large in appetite for two favorite habits. The first part I'm not interested in, smoking, but also drinking. So he's said to be rather lazy, and his preferred residence is a well-stocked wine cellar where, even though he will partake himself of its finest vintages, he does at least scare away thieving servants. So, I love it. He's just this drunk leprechaun in the basement. Get out of my basement. But anyway, the clericon shares similarities with the brownie of Scottish Gaelic folklore, who lives in barns and does chores at night. Although, if sighted, he can break things like plates and, of course, spill your milk. So, I just think it's funny. Like, he lives in the basement. So, there's a connection to that. There's also another antecedent to leprechauns, which is the Far Darrig. They're an ugly little fairy with a wrinkled old face, which fits the idea of a leprechaun. Mm-hmm. In some regions of Ireland, he is very tall, while wherever he's regarded as being very small. So it really depends on where you're looking at. But at least apparently he can change size at will. He's very fond of practical jokes, but some of these can be lethal, and hence he might be considered like the evil of the leprechauns, if you will. The one good trait of the Far Darrig is that he can, if he so wishes, release people who become trapped in fairyland.
Oh.
So if the Fae steal you away, he can bring you back.
Okay.
Yes. Finally, the Moros of folklore from Celtic Galicia and Asturias, both in Spain, they guard tombs and are associated with hidden treasure, which, again, leprechauns. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you look at all these different antecedents, they borrow features kind of from all these different creatures. And that kind of gave us our dominant Irish mythology today.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, you know, if you look locally for us, we have the Tommyknockers. And a lot of people who worked in mines, you know, they were usually Irish workmen. So, of course, they're bringing over their ideas.
Yeah.
New York has, you know, a high Irish area, too. But the Native Americans didn't have any Irish people, you know.
Yeah.
So they have the Puckwaji. So it's interesting to see like this kind of story cross the pond or having been here before the Irish ever came in terms of the Puckwaji. So you could say that it's a bit of fake lore, but little people have to, they could possibly be real because there's so many connections between different and ancient, you know, tribes and whatnot. So, again, it's interesting. But I do have a really cool story from witchlike.wordpress.com. This is an oral tradition story, and it was called The Leprechaun's Gold. So this is a traditional story.
Okay.
And this kind of illustrates the leprechaun perfectly, because they're not malicious, apart from the one guy. And we mentioned the bad guy.
Apart from Steve over there.
Steve's, well, but here's the thing. We do like the far daring, because he can get us out of fairyland. But anyway. Yeah. So The Leprechaun's Gold. Should I do this in an Irish accent? My terrible Irish accent?
Oh, boy.
'Twas a fine sunny day.
Oh, 80-90.
Oh, 80-90.
Sorry, Irish listeners.
There's a whole story. We were playing, what, Betrayal at House on the Hill, and I ended up, somehow I became the Haunt, and it was me playing against PJ and Jack, and the Haunt started, and I was a leprechaun, and I was trying to, like, hide my gold or whatever.
Your lucky charms. Yeah, oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
And so, the whole thing, I was allowed to, in the rules it says you can, like, move faster if you use a really bad Irish accent, and I was like, well, I'm already good on
that. And, like, the total number of moves we made is how many moves you could make in
plus
one turn.
Double, yeah. Or was like, or some, it was crazy.
Oh my gosh, you could cross the whole mansion in, like, a turn.
Yep.
And you just smack us and run away.
Because, like, yeah, because leprechauns are supposed to be speedy, well, yeah. You know? So it makes sense, but, and it was just so broken. Mischievous.
That was such a broken game.
I loved it, but I was like, oh, they're after me lucky charms.
If you want an excellent board game, it's called Betrayal at House on the Hill. It's kind of creepy. It's super grade B. Like we were just saying, sometimes it's very broken. Like, the rules are just not.
House rules.
Yeah, the rules are just not balanced, but it's so fun.
Like, you get the idea that the Haunt is supposed to win for some of them. And, like, it's a leprechaun, like...
There's just no way to win against that.
Well, and it makes sense, because leprechauns are fast, you know, and they're mischievous. But, oh my gosh, my accent was so terrible. And I'm like, well, it's a good thing, because I'm supposed to have a bad Irish accent. So here I go.
And we're like, why are you talking like that? You're Scottish now.
But now I get to move two more times. It's ridiculous. All right, so here's the story. I suppose I will not do this in my... accent. 'Twas a fine sunny day at harvest time when young Seamus O'Donnell, walking along the road, heard a tapping sound. Peering over the hedge, he saw a tiny man with a leather apron mending a little shoe. Well, 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 said Seamus to himself, I truly never expected to meet a leprechaun. Now that I have, I must not let this chance slip away, for everyone knows that leprechauns keep a pot of gold hidden nearby. All I have to do is find it, and I am set for the rest of my life. Greeting the leprechaun politely, Seamus asked about his health. However, after a few minutes of idle conversation, Seamus became impatient. He grabbed the leprechaun and demanded to know where the gold was hidden. All right, cried the little man. It's near here. I'll show you. Together they set off across the fields as Seamus was careful never to take his eyes off the little man who was guiding him. At last they came to a field of golden ragwort. The leprechaun pointed to a large plant. The gold is under there, he said. All you have to do is dig down and find it. Now, Seamus didn't have anything with him to use for digging, but he was not entirely stupid. He pulled off his red neckerchief and tied it to the plant so that he could recognize it again. Promise me, he said to the leprechaun, that you will not untie that scarf. The little man promised faithfully. Seamus dropped the leprechaun and ran home as fast as he could to fetch a shovel. Within 5 minutes, he was back to the field. But what a sight met his eyes. Every single ragwort plant in the whole field, and there were hundreds of them, had a red neckerchief tied around it. Slowly, young Seamus walked home with his shovel. He didn't have his gold. He didn't have the leprechaun. And now he didn't even have his neckerchief. So that's a good example of a leprechaun. You're like, so...
I was expecting the neckerchief to be removed, but still tied.
See, I imagine him, like, trimming just that one branch, because then he wouldn't have touched the neckerchief. But then he could search the ragwort for trimmed piece. So... But it's cute, and it showcases them, you know, just, you know, being little mischief makers. And so that's how the Irish view them. So then I have this other version that says, you know, it's called The Leprechaun or Fairy Shoemaker, and it's by the famous Irish poet William Allingham. He was writing about the same time as William Butler Yeats. And so Yeats wrote the Stolen Child.
Oh, yeah.
But he's really well known, and he liked to write down all the Irish lore that he knew about. And so this one, it rhymes, of course, but it says, little cowboy, what have you heard up on the lonely wraith's green mound? Only the plaintive yellow birds sighing in the sultry fields around. Chari, 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 chi, chi. Only the grasshopper and the bee. Tip, tap, rep, rap. Tick, tack, a two. Scarlet leather sewn together. This will make a shoe. Left, right, pull it tight. Summer days are warm. Underground in winter, laughing at the storm. Lay your ear close to the hill. Do you not catch the tiny clamor? Busy click of an elfin hammer. Voice of the leprechaun singing shrill as he merrily plies his trade. He's a span and a quarter in height. Get him in sight, hold him tight, and you're a made man. You watch your cattle a summer day, sup on potatoes, sleep in the hay. How would you like to roll in a carriage, look for a duchess's daughter in marriage? Seize the shoemaker, then you may. Big boots a-hunting, sandals in the hall, white for a wedding feast, pink for a ball. This way, that way, so we make a shoe, getting rich every stitch, tick-tack-too. 99 treasure crocks this keen miser fairy hath, hid in the mountains, wood and rock, ruin and round tower, cave and rath. And where the coromants build, from times of gold guarded by him, each of them filled, full to the brim, with gold. I caught him at work one day myself, in the castle ditch where foxglove grows, a wrinkled, wizened, and bearded elf, spectacle stuck up on his pointed nose. Silver buckles to his hose, leather apron, shoe in his lap, rip-rap, tip-tap, tick-tack-too. A grasshopper on my cap, away the moth flew. Buskins for a fairy prince, brogues for his son. Pay me well, when the job is done. The rogue was mine beyond a doubt. I stared at him, he stared at me. Servant, sir, humph, says he, and pulled a snuff-box out. He took a long pinch, looked better pleased. The queer little leprechaun offered the box with a whimsical grace. Poof, he flung the dust in my face, and, while I sneezed, was gone. So you got a guy who's working, makes a lot of money because he's making all the great shoes for everybody, and you find him to get your money from him, and boom, gets away again.
Yep.
So regardless of what you read, he's just a trickster who gets away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has lots of money, doesn't spend it because he's too busy making, apparently they just like making shoes. I don't know. I like a good shoe.
I mean, as long as I have two of them.
Now. Congratulations.
Now I can wear two shoes again.
Are you still ace bandaging? I'm sure Nurse Jackie wants to know.
I didn't today.
How's it feeling without the ace bandage?
Good.
Are you swollen?
Don't know. Haven't checked.
Okay. Well, that's good news, though. Hooray.
Yeah.
Look at you on the mend. Nurse Jackie, you hear that? He's taking care of himself. Now, is the leprechaun evil? Okay, this is a question. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm not sure about you, but I grew up afraid of them because of the stupid well-known movie franchise. Nowadays, I look at the pictures, I'm like, that guy's not creepy at all. When I was a kid.
See, I never watched them because I thought they, like, I just always thought they looked stupid. I'm like, I'm not watching that.
So my friend Melissa, when I was a kid, her mom let her watch whatever she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so she took us to the drive-ins one summer, and there were two features. One was a kid's one, then one was the adult one afterward.
Yep.
And Melissa loved watching the Leprechaun series. And I'm not sure which one it was, but it starts off and I'm like, what the heck is this? And she's like, yes, it's so exciting. I was screaming. So now I hate leprechauns freak me out.
I think it's probably like 3 or 4 by the time that we were going to movies and stuff like that.
Well, regardless,
It's
horrifying. So I did some research on the Irish Genealogy Toolkit.com,
mm-hmm.
and I learned something. Apparently there are 5 clans of leprechaun, and they don't mix much. So which one you need to look out for depends on where you are in Ireland. So the first of the clans is the Leinster leprechaun, and it most closely fits with the popular notion of the little guy. He's the least flamboyant in dress, the least extrovert, they're very keen on honey, they're pretty chill.
Okay.
The second kind is the Ulster leprechaun, which, of course, that's the story where the whole thing takes place. He is the shortest in stature, but you don't mention it because you go to angry. In addition to some built-up heels to look taller, which we see quintessential with leprechauns, they usually wear pointed hats to give the illusion of greater height, kind of like a gnome. And they claim to be the best poets and the most accomplished hurlers. Very Irish of them. Number 3, the Meath leprechaun is their unique skill is diplomacy. Very good at talking.
Okay.
So it's a good trait, but in the execution of being diplomatic, they tend to talk a lot. A lot. So it says, don't be in a hurry to run into them if you don't have time to spare. The fourth one is the Connaught Leprechaun. Like his brethren, he's industrious, whether he's working or studying, but they take it all a little bit too seriously, apparently. So they're said to be the best inventors and they're great philosophers, but they're the most reclusive, so you are not probably going to see them. Very scholarly. Hmm. But the fifth one is the Munster Leprechaun. Great cheese. Anyway, they're the wildest party animal you will ever encounter. Their drinking habits are legendary. When sober, he has the sweetest tongue, but when he's drunk, he's simply horrible.
Hmm.
So it turns out the most evil, probably the Munster Leprechaun. That being said, he sounds like the guy I want to hang out with. It sounds like the St. Patty's Day Leprechaun. I don't know.
Just don't stay too late, you know.
Exactly. Or if he's living in your basement because he's a part of that group, well, you know, just give him some extra wine. It's fine.
I thought you didn't want him to get drunk, though, because that's when he gets mean. So you don't give him the extra wine.
Well, then he gets angry. Wouldn't he get angry?
Yeah, he'd probably get angry at that, too.
I don't know.
It's a lose-lose.
So, I don't know. Like, I find it interesting, but I was like, well, how does this connect close to home? Right? This is a Pennsylvania-centric podcast as much as possible.
Except when I'm in charge. I'm like, nope, we're leaving PA.
Hey, I did the Rougarou.
You did.
I didn't know. I do things. But I actually just wanted Reddit to look for leprechaun stories because I was Googling, like, you know, leprechaun stories, and Reddit popped up. Well, it's crazy. The first thing that popped up was both of these stories take place in Western PA. And I was like, holy crap, I wasn't even looking for Pennsylvania. But now I can make it Pennsylvania. So from Reddit, the person who was typing is called ExistentialDread14. And he says, I personally know two people who truly believe they've seen leprechauns. So the first story, and again, they both take place in Western PA, which is where Kevin Paul is. The first story takes place in 1991. But again, like, that's kind of when leprechaun movies were coming out. So put that in context. But my ex-boyfriend's dad. Oh, so she's a girl. Sorry. So she says, Existential Dread must be a girl. Meg's boyfriend's dad was the chief of police of a small town located directly outside of a city. He had several police officers who worked for him. And one was a young rookie cop whom I'll call Mike. Mike.
Well, the first one came out in 93. I thought they came out in the 80s.
They had an 80s feel, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the police officers in that jurisdiction often assisted the city with police calls. Mike was going to such a call on a cold day in the beginning of March. He was driving down a road that on either side of the field was tall, dead brown grass. All of a sudden, Mike saw what he thought was an animal coming out of the grass on the left side. He said he saw the next sequence of events in slow motion. He tried to slow his cruiser down. He saw that it was not an animal, but indeed a small, bald, dirty man dressed in ragged clothes, approximately 2 feet tall, running out from the grass. He slammed on the brakes. The cruiser did not stop fast enough, and he hit the small man with the front of the car. The man flew up in the air. Mike jumped out and ran into the front. He said he looked right down at the small man, whom then he noticed had reddish-brown hair. The little man began screaming an evil laugh and hopped up, ran into the grass on the right side of the road. Mike ran after him, but all he heard was the sound of an evil, mocking laugh. When Mike got back to the station, he was visibly shaken. My ex's father said he was pale white and he could barely choke out the story. When he finished telling them what happened, everyone except my ex's dad began howling with laughter. The cops teased him relentlessly about the leprechaun story. Since it was about 3 weeks before St. Patrick's Day, one of the cops went to the dollar store and bought a leprechaun hat. He left it on Mikey's doorstep with a note stuck on the brim saying, I'm coming for you, Mikey. The next morning, Mike came in crying and told my ex's father that he was quitting the police. My ex's father believed Mike, and he said he could tell he was extremely sincere in his belief that he'd hit a leprechaun. He told the other cops to leave him alone about it, and Mike worked with him for years to come. I mean, it's kind of cool. And she says later, you know, when she heard the story from her ex's father, you know, she actually went to see Mike. And says, later that year, Mike was over at my ex's house. I asked Mike about the story. He grew pale and quiet, and he told me exactly the same story my ex's father had told me earlier. He insists and has always insisted that he had a leprechaun with his car that day. And his evil shenanigans.
Like, can't.
Wee! His head goes flying.
They're supposed to be intelligent creatures, right? You just hit it with your car?
He was trying to run. Maybe he had gotten in the wine cellar. I don't know.
So weird.
All right. So the second one is her friend Susan. And so it says, the second story takes place in 1998. My childhood best friend, and it gets in air quotes, Susan, so nickname, grew up in one of the most haunted houses I've ever seen in my life. She lived in an old farmhouse way out in the country that had been in her family for generations. It's important to understand how her upstairs was set up. You'd go up the staircase to essentially a dead end with hallways on either side of the staircase. To the right was a very large bedroom, which was her parents' room. To the immediate left was her sister's room. Then Susan's room, then an open hallway which led to the bathroom and a smaller back bedroom. So again, hallway, pretty much. You walk up the steps and it's just a long, creepy hallway. So Susan's bedroom had an open doorway into the hallway that faced the bathroom and a small bedroom. So she tells stories of like how like Susan, like the things which happened in the house, the creepy things. But says one morning she came into school and told me in a whisper that she had seen a leprechaun in the hallway of her room the night before. I could tell it scared her. I asked her if she'd seen anything before, and she said that she'd had. She said she'd heard rustling noises out in the hallway and gotten out of her bed to peek around the corner. In the corner of the hall, she saw a small man approximately 2 feet tall in dirty clothes with red hair. She froze with fear. Then she said the man disappeared. She said she'd seen him before out of the corner of her eye in the hallway at all hours of the day. I remember her as clear as day saying to me that it did not look like the leprechaun on the Lucky Charms box. Which I thought was kind of cool. But anyway,
because I was going to ask him.
Because, like, yeah, you know, they're eating Lucky Charms and do you think they're wearing green? No, everyone keeps saying they're dirty little men. They're not wearing green, you know? Being an amateur paranormal investigator, even at 9, I asked her to draw me a picture. I still have the picture somewhere at my parents'. She drew a small man with red hair standing in her hallway. She believed she saw the leprechaun one more time. Then she told me she never saw it again. It should be noted, too, that Susan was not asleep or in her bed the times that she saw this guy. She would see it out in the hallway or out of the corner of her eye while she was upstairs. And I believe she saw it over a 6-month period. A lot of strange things happened at her house, and I know she believed what she saw, and she wasn't just making up stories. And then she goes on because obviously that was years ago.
Yeah.
It says, now that I am older and do paranormal investigations myself, I believe what Mike and Susan both saw are what we call Tommyknockers. Tommyknockers are leprechaun-like creatures believed by immigrant coal miners to live in the mines and move tools and such things. This being Western Pennsylvania, each location where the leprechaun was seen was above or near a coal mine. They're often described as dirty, scraggly, sharp-featured-looking little men with reddish hair. I cannot express how sincere both of them were to me when telling me their stories. So, I need to learn a lot about Tommyknockers. So we're going to do an episode on that. I've decided.
Okay.
Because that's a Pennsylvania thing. And we need to go to the coal mines now, little Pioneer Tunnel, and ask them about Tommyknockers.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I found this little story, and I only want to read it because the Redditor's name is Ducky Quackalot. And I think it's hilarious. But it says, I grew up constantly hearing my dad remind and tease my sister at the dinner table about the time she claimed to have seen a leprechaun standing back by our barn when she was about 3 or 4 years old. This was Western New York. We had 42 acres of land, mostly woods, and the back part of the property was adjacent to some kind of quarry. I believe the story because that was her explanation of the patch of four-leaf clovers that would always grow in that very spot next to the barn. But it's upstate New York, just saying. Whatever upstate New York is. Another person named Shangri-Lasta, not Lista, Lasta. She said, my mother grew up in Western Pennsylvania. She told me a story about seeing a tiny man in her house when she was little in the 1940s. It freaked her out and she never forgot it. Also, her grandfather was in coal mining. And then this is from Cade_Flowers. Okay, I don't want to sound like a crazy person, but my mom and her two sisters saw a leprechaun, he puts it in air quotes, when they were younger as well. So my aunt had said the two girls, my mom and my other aunt, shared the same bedroom, and beds were side by side. Their bed was on the other side of the room. I believe she said she felt something at the foot of her bed, and when she went to take a look, it was a leprechaun, and she screamed to my mom to look, and she did, but as they were staring, he jumped onto my mom's bed, then ran inside the wall vent. It's an old Ohio home, I think. And then they never saw him again. It says here, I've never not believed them because they all saw the same thing. And what reason do they have to lie about it, you know? They still can't explain it, and neither can I, but it ran into the old wall vent in their Ohio home. And Ohio and West, you know, Western New York, they all connect to Pennsylvania. You know, we're all right there.
Yeah.
So then, if you read some of the books by Kevin Paul and Rosemary Guiley, they mention a lot of West Virginia, too, because the bottom part of Western PA touches Ohio and Western Virginia.
Yeah.
So, like, you have that one corner. Well, this is West Virginia. Empty House 999 said, "My family and I live in West Virginia. My mother always told me that once as a child in the 1970s, she and her family went to Lost World Caverns. It's a tourist attraction. It's a cave. Like, kind of like our Penn Caves. You can, like, walk through it. And she saw what she has always described to me as a troll. She said her parents laughed at her when she said she had seen it and that nobody believes her to this day. She has told me since I was a child with such sincerity that I have always believed what she saw. She described it as something ancient, like a part of the earth itself. As an adult very recently, I have heard more and more about Tommyknockers. West Virginia has a lot to do with the whole mining industry, etc. So I wonder if she saw something similar. It's very interesting to me that so many people see the same thing in states so close together, like Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and I believe I saw a reply here from Ohio. I think it's interesting that Empty House 999 mentions this because even this person pops up saying, is a Tommyknocker.
Yeah.
So in my quest to learn about leprechauns, I somehow fell upon Tommyknockers. And the Algonquin original spelling of Pukwudgeegee, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it because it is just crazy. So I think it's cool. I think it's cool. Now we got to do an episode on Tommyknockers and, of course, changelings and the Fae.
Yeah.
Get all spoopy. But what do you think?
Oh, they're spoopy. They can get spoopy. I don't know. I didn't buy it, but now, because, like, as you were talking about it and things like that, it's like, I wonder if they're even just, like, imps, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, in any case, happy St. Patty's Day, darling.
Oh, yes.
Did I do a good job with that? So no matter what we think, though, leprechauns are all about luck and superstitions, and we love it all here, obviously. So I would like to say happy St. Patty's Day to all of our listeners, and I'm ready to sign off. Do you want to mention anything before we sign off?
No, get into our giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
We're picking the winner over the last weekend of March. So you still have time
Easter
to get in.
Weekend.
Either email us, gamesoboard@gmail.com, subject line contest or giveaway, anything like that.
Comment on Facebook.
Yep, comment on Facebook or Instagram. You'll have to go back a little bit to find the picture of the giveaway. Comment
on that. Yeah, we'll have to reshare that, I think.
We'll repost it.
And of course, April 13th, we're going to be at Helix Tabletop Guild in Bloomsburg. So mark your calendars. And in October, we're going to be a part of a spiritual event with Kevin Paul. He's still kneeling. He actually might go for a larger venue now, so it's going to be a bigger group than original. Yeah. So he and I were just talking.
So is this a convention?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll be speaking at a convention.
About our exorcism in our house. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we were supposed to be doing a little while ago, but Kevin Paul got very sick. So
anyone out in Western PA, we're going to be in your Waynesburg, area in Waynesburg.
Yep. So we'll let you know more as we get more from him. So. But in any case, I'd like to leave you with a poem that was written by Rochelle E. Goodrich. You don't believe in leprechauns, a myth you say they be. You don't believe in pots of gold or four-leaf clover tea. You don't believe the rainbow's end, a light's on treasured finds. They are illusions meant for fools, you say you've lost their minds. You don't believe in whispering your wishes to the wind, where on St. Patrick's holiday they blow towards Ireland. You don't believe in magic spells or longings coming true, yet head to toe you dress in green, on Patty's Day you do.